Begin the current Dav, Mesechtes Brachas, Dav Lamehe, we will begin the sixth paragraph, Mesechtes Brachas, Perek Ketzim Mevarchim. We begin the Tosfos Divrei Maskil that begins with the opening words of this Perek, Ketzim Mevarchim, how do we make the Brachas? The Tosfos comes to explain, why doesn't the Gemara ask over here the question, Tana Hichakoi? We learn in the Mishnah that says, how you can make brachas on the Peres. So Tosfos says, Leishayich Lahakshas, you can't ask on the terminology of Ketzim Mevarchim, the question of Tana Hechakoi, the Tana Ketzad, where's the Tana going on that he says, how is it? In other words, where did the Tana even tell us that there is an obligation to make a bracha, that he's just asking, what is the bracha? And the Tana didn't tell us first that you have to make a bracha. Kedeparach Beresh Mechilden, like we have this question in the beginning of the Mesechta and of Bezim and Alv, where we said, Me'emesai Kur in the Shema, and the Gemara says, well, that terminology makes it sound like it was obvious for the Tana that you have to say Kriya Shema. And the only question was, from when? And the Gemara asked over there, well, where do you know there's such an obligation? Says Taisis, why doesn't the Gemara ask the same question over here? Says Taisis, Mishum Dahachim, because over here in our parak, Svaruhu Levarach, there's logic that we should have to make a bracha. Kedemastik be Gemara, as the Gemara ultimately concludes, the asla hanis manoil mazebele bracha, because it's forbidden to have benefit from this world without a blessing, and therefore, since it was so obvious that you have to make a bracha, therefore, the only question that's left as our Mishnah opens up is ketzad mevarchim, how do we go ahead and make a bracha? Or inami, another approach, Taisa says, yeshlam, what you could say is, know that there is a previous source, because the koya masnitin de misha mesu, it's going on the Mishnah that already had, and therefore, all we have to say is tell you how to make a bracha, what is the bracha, because the fact that there is a bracha, we already know from the Mishnah in Perek Misha Mesu, of Chavim and Beis. Because Diktani, there the Mishnah tells us that a Balkari, or it's talking about over there regarding a man that has a similar mission, so the Allah is Mavarch la'achra ve'ein Mavarch la'fanav. So he said that he makes a bracha after he finishes eating, but not before he eats. Now, therefore, v'achinami, so here also we're comparing, just like over there we see that by Birchas Hamazon, one has to make a bracha, Shaykh hach la'varcha called davar v'davar, so therefore we compare to say that regarding eating foods, you have to make a bracha on every single thing. Therefore, over here, our Mishnah just says, Ketzim Mevarchim, how do you make a bracha? Because we have a precedent already that there's brachas that we make on foods, again, either because, as the first Tarsus Tais says, from logic, or because we find this already in the perek, in the previous Mishnah, Perek Mishnah Meisah, on the food of bread, so too, we could assume that on all foods, one would have to make a bracha, and therefore, we're just asking, what is the bracha? We continue in the next Tais of the Bimaskel. Tais begins with the words of the Gemara, Achle v'hadar achle. One's with a ches, one's with a chav. First, you have to be mechal, you have to redeem it, and then you could eat it, which today's come to explain why don't we know this halacha of redeeming the neter revai from Gzeres Shavah. The Gemara brings that from the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, which are bringing as a source for the halacha of making a bracha, which is hal. Additionally, the Hilulim, the plural, is telling us that this pasuk is talking about neter revai, a tree in its first 3 years is orally forbidden to have benefit. In the fourth year, that tells us that okay, if someone doesn't want to take up the produce to Yerushalayim and eat it over there, which is the halacha, if he wants to eat it out of Yerushalayim, then he has to go ahead and first be achli, has to be mechalid, meaning deconsecrate on monies, and then he could eat that produce. And that is Taisus, Tema Taisus wonders and says, let's take a second look over here. Lamali kara, why do you need this pasuk of Kodesh Elulim to tell us this idea? Habaperek beis de kedushin, in the second parak of Masechtas Kedushin of Nadal, Mabez Gamrina, we have Gzeres Shavah of Kodesh, Kodesh, Mimeiser Sheni. We learn out the laws of Neter Avai from the laws of Meiser Sheni. Just like Meiser Sheni requires, when it's redeemed, adding a fifth, and so to a halach of beer, or you have it to liquidate it, so to the laws of Neter Avai, the fruit of the fourth year, has the same halachas. Simkein, if that's the case, and they live in Meiser Sheni, we should learn that also additionally the halach of chilul, of redeeming it, that we also learn from Meister Sheni, that if one wants to eat out of Yerushalayim, he has to redeem it. So learn from the Gzeres Shavah, why do you need the pasuk of Kodesh Elulim to tell us this halacha? Yeshlem says, what you could say is because the Ilav Karad Elulim, if we didn't have this special pasuk of Kodesh Elulim, Havamina, I would have said to Adirabba, to the contrary, that you're right, you have a Gzeres Shavah, you could learn from Meister Sheni, but Nelef L'chumra, but you could also have a Gzeres Shavah learned out as a stringency, Kodesh Kodesh Meshvias. Says the word Kodesh by Neter Avai, it says it by the laws of the Shemitah year. Now the Einlo Pidyon, and by the Shemitah year, there's no redemption at all. And rather, the halacha is that it has to be stayed as it is. You can't redeem the Shemitah produce. So too, I would say that by Neter Avai would be the same thing. That no, you cannot redeem it. You have to take it up and eat in Yerushalayim, and therefore you couldn't learn from the Gzeres Shavah, because then I would have said learn it out from Shemitah. Rather, we can learn out from this pasuk itself by Neter Avai that tells you you can redeem it and then eat it. Or Oid Pirsha Rabbeinu Chaim Kayin, another interpretation from Rabbeinu Chaim Kayin, he says, no, Imi Hasim, had we learned it out from the Gzeres Shavah from Maisa Sheni, so I mean, then I would have said, Ki Maisa Sheni Mamash, that it literally has to be like the laws of the second tithe, which means v'dafk b'zman shamaisa sheni noig. I would have thought to say that yeah, the halachas of Neter Avai are exactly like the laws of Maisa Sheni, and that means to say it only applies when the laws of Maisa Sheni apply. Meaning k'moy b'shan rishayna b'shniya v'rviyas v'chamishas l'shmita, the laws of Maisa Sheni, the second tayif, every year you have to give Maisa Rishon to the Levi. But the second tayif, which is that the produce has to be taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten by the owner, that's only in the first, second, fourth, fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. Then, then if I'm learning out Neter Avai from there, I would say, okay, that's where the laws of deconsecrating could apply in the laws of Neter Avai. But in the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, Shemaisa on the Dafka, that then there's only the laws of giving the tithe to the poor person, doesn't go to the owner to take up the Yerushalayim. Emalai. Then I would say in those years that when someone has Neter Avai, he cannot deconsecrate it because you're learning from Maisa Sheni, which does not have its application in the third and sixth year. That's why Kamashim, that's what we needed to learn out as our Gemara brings him, Kedesh Lulam, which from there we expound, Chalulam, which it refers to this idea of being Machal, of deconsecrating and then eating it, that applies always not only in the first and second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. Ketimah Teis de Rimaschel, Teis begins with the words of the Gemara, She'in Urm Shira El Al Yain, that we only sing song on the wine, which Teis comes to qualify and explain that that's referring specifically when the Mizbeach, so to speak, eats. The Gemara brought this teaching from Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman Amr B'Yenison. How do we know that we only say Shira on the wine? In other words, that the Levim, they don't sing the Shir of the carbon and the Mikdash only when they're pouring the wine libations on the Mizbeach. Like it says in the Pasuk, as the Gemara quotes, that the grapevine tells them in this metaphor that, I have my wine that makes God and people happy. And what's this that makes God happy? Is the song that the Levim sing on the wine. So Taisa says, Pirish, Taisa explains, what that means to say is, Einam Shira al Shom Achilas Mizbeach, meaning the Levim don't sing their song on any consumption of the altar, meaning it's so to speak the Mizbeach is eating when you throw the blood on the Mizbeach, or when you pour the water libations, the sukkahs on the Mizbeach, Kiyam Alayayin, only when the Mizbeach is so to speak eating the wine when they pour the wine libations. Avavadi, but Taisa points out most definitely, Mitzina Shir Belo Yayin. We do find singing the songs in the Beis HaMikdash without wine, like we find by the hal that they would say on Erev Pesach when they're slowing the carbon Pesach, and that was not at the time of the wine libations because it's not only on the wine. We mean the consumption of Mizbeach, that having God rejoice, that's only by the wine and not by anything else. Which Ayin Shem Mataisis over there, Pesach Pesachim, the Perak Tam Nishcha, the Samach Dam Lanaf, where their taste qualifies a little bit more, that because this Pasuk Mesamech Alekim Ba'Noshim is that says, where the joy comes from wine, is comparing God to men. Just like the primary joy of a person comes when he's eating, so too regarding God, we're talking about regarding when he's eating the carbon. And that's what we're saying, that the Shira is only on wine at the time of when the Mizbeach is eating. But you're right, at a time when the Mizbeach, not at the time of Mizbeach eating, then the Shira wasn't specifically on wine, then it was even by, like we said, by the slaughtering of the carbon Pesach. Continuing the next Taisiv and Maskel, Taisiv begins with the words of the Gemara, or the Mandatah, the Kerem Ravai, Bechul, according to the one that learns out that Kerem Ravai, which Taisiv comes to explain that halachically today, the law of Ravai, of a tree in its first 3 years as Arla, in the fourth year that it has halacha of Ravai, that now out of Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is only by Kerem Ravai, that of a vineyard. The Gemara brought a machlekes between Rebchir and Rebshim Berebi, one said Kerem Ravai, in other words, which that's what our Taisiv is going on, that wherever in Mishnayos is mentioned Neter Avai, he changed it to read it only Kerem Avai, because he held that, no, the law of Ravai, that means to say that the fruits of the fourth year you have to bring up to Yerushalayim only applies by a vineyard, not by all fruits. And the other one says, no, Neter Avai, which he holds that, no, the fruits of all trees, they have the halacha of Ravai that you have to take it up to Yerushalayim. So Taiz says, Va'ata Kaimelon, and now we rule, the Ravai Noig Af Bechutzlatz, that the halacha of the fruits of the fourth year applies even out of Eretz Yisrael, that it has that sanctity. As we're going to shortly explain, so what do you do with the sanctity, which generally is brought up to Yerushalayim, but first Taish says, Miyu, however, Bekerem Noig, but the laws of the fourth year of the fruit tree, that we even do in the Ad of Eretz Yisrael, is only by a vineyard, B'loi B'shar Ilanas, and we don't do it by other trees. Now, why is that? Because we just brought that as a machleik is, and the halach is the Chalamekel Ba'aretz, whoever's lenient regarding the laws of agriculture is or applies to the land in regards to Eretz Yisrael, halach is like that individual out of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, according to the one, that's the Molina interpretation that says that the law of Ravai only applies to Kerem, because it doesn't apply to other fruits. Therefore, the halacha that we do out of Eretz Yisrael is going to be like him, that the laws of Ravai is only going to apply by Kerem and not by other fruit trees. But however, Taisa points out Now, okay, that's the halacha in Chutzlarts. What's in today's times that you can't bring it up and eat in Yerushalayim because it doesn't have that sanctity anymore once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? Halacha is machalan al shava pruta. What we do is that we deconsecrate it onto something worth a pruta, so that it has the element of deconsecration. And then you grind it down. And you throw it into the river so that person should not come to have benefit from it, because ultimately it does have the sanctity of the fruits of the fourth year, which you need a b'machala to be able to eat the fruits, but then that has that sanctity, which that has to be taken up to Yerushalayim, and since the person cannot, so therefore they throw it into the river that no one should have benefit from it. So it is explained like this in the Shiltas, like the Brises of Shiltas of Rav Achoy and Parashas Kedeshim Simukov. We're continuing the next taste of the Rimasal. This begins with the words of the Gemara, Vase Nami Zais. And we could also include the olive, but Mahatzad, in the common denominator. Which Tais comes to explain why did the Gemara pick this Mahatzad, that of that they both have the Tzad of Mizbeach, which the Gemara brought that after that we learned that by a vineyard of grapes that is an obligation of a bracha. And so too, because we had Kodesh Elulim, so too we learned out that grain is obligated in the bracha, as we have the Pasuk Vachalta Basabat Verachta. So on that says the Gemara, but still you can't learn out anything else that requires a bracha, because you can refute to try to compare the two of them, because a vineyard and a grain field, they both have a common denominator of astringency that is what's called the tzad mizbeach, meaning from both of them one sacrifice on the altar. The wine is the nesachim, the wine libations, and the seilus, the flour of the grain, goes as the menachas, which are flour offerings. But, says the Gemara, but you could learn out from the common denominator of both of them regarding an olive, that olive is obligated in the bracha, because that also has a tzad mizbeach, because the olive oil was also sacrificed in the menachas on the mizbeach. However, says Taisus, if you're going to say, Taisus has to take a second look. How could you say that you could learn out an olive that for a chi of bracha from the two of them, but you could refute that even regarding an olive? What can you say regarding the common denominator of grapes and grain? The grain is obligated in leket, which is when there's gleanings that fall down, that goes to the poor. And also, the same thing applies in the equivalent of a vineyard. There it's not called leket, there it's called pered. But that's the same thing as leket. That does not apply by an olive. The emor leket doesn't have leket. So there is a common denominator that they both have that doesn't apply to zayis. How could you learn out that you're saying at least zayis could be included, even zayis cannot be included? So Taisa says, what you could say is that you're right. Here, the primary point of the Gemara was to tell us that you cannot learn out from a kerem and by tefuah other things to an obligation and of bracha. And therefore, the Gemara wanted to ask a question. This one, that we say in the common denominator that they both have, that has a tzad mizbeach, in contrast to everything else. On that, the Gemara was saying that afilo yehei atzad ha-shava. Even if you're going to say that the common denominator is chashiv, lamesi zayis menei, is considered that you could learn out an aleph from it, that would be obligated in the bracha, mekamakam. However, kama, that's what the Gemara is saying, the sharmin, but other types, lo yadim menei, you wouldn't know from there. In other words, Taisa is essentially saying that no, it's obvious to the Gemara that you're right, you cannot learn out from this tzad hashava of grain and from wine, olives. Because, yes, like Taisa just asked, you could ask on that limud, because they have a common denominator that doesn't apply to olives, which is this parrot, leket. But the Gemara didn't want to get involved in that. And the Gemara didn't want to say and refute, could you learn out olive or not? And maybe the Gemara just said that even if you could learn out from the tzad hashava, even if you can learn out olive or bracha, but still, everything else you're not going to learn out because it doesn't have even the tzad mizbeach, which even that, okay, an olive would have, but even that you wouldn't be able to know everything else. And therefore, we're back to the question, how does everything else know? But you're right, really, as Taisa is pointing out, even olive we wouldn't know, but we're saying even had you learned that olive, but everything else you wouldn't have a source for. Now, we continue the next Taisa to be Masla. Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Teinich la'achrav, which Taisa comes to explain, why was it so obvious to the Gemara regarding the making a bracha than the bracha before one eats. In other words, the Gemara brought that if we're going to learn now from the Shivas Aminim, an obligation of a bracha, okay, like the Taisus is bringing from the words of the Gemara, Tainach la'achar, that's good regarding after one eats. But beforehand, how do you know that? So Taisus is bothered. Why was it so obvious to the Gemara that a bracha after you eat is more obvious than that of before? So he explains because the ikar bracha, the primary bracha, is la'achrab, is after one eats. Ketach Sivlik says the pasig, which is the one biblical source we find regarding eating. V'chalti v'savata v'rachti, you'll eat, you'll be satiated, and you make a blessing. So therefore, even though we're bringing, but regarding the Shivas Aminim, that there is a bracha, but that's after you finish eating. How would you even know beforehand? Because again, like we find, the primary brachas, we find the Torahs are going after one eats, not before one eats. Now, we continue in the next taste of Maschil. This begins with the words of the Gemara that says, actually, lefan of lekol shekein, before one eats, isn't it obvious? Meaning, Taz come to explain, it's not a real bona fide kavuchemer. The Gemara brought that if you can learn that from hilulim, that you have to make a bracha after you finish eating, so how do you know before you eat? So that's what Taisa quotes in the Gemara. Oh, lefan of lekol shekein, for sure beforehand you have to make a bracha, because if when you finish eating you're satiated, you have to make a bracha when you're hungry and you really appreciate the food that you're about to eat, for sure you have to make a bracha. So Taisa says, lav kabochemo, it's not like a bona fide, like we know one of the 13 attributes, hermeneutic principles that we expound the Torah, what's called a kabochemo, that's for sure tells us beforehand, because if that would be the case, te bracha de lefanim, and they're right, so that would make the bracha before one eats as a biblical obligation. Now, el perik misha mesa, but previously, on daf chaval v'man al, mash megave balkeri, it sounded like from the Gemara over there regarding the balkeri, that he makes a bracha after he finishes eating, even though he has a seminal mission, but he does not make a bracha beforehand. That it sounds like the lav deraisu. That's not biblical, because if it was, then it would have the same stringency as after eating. So rather, this halacha of beforehand is not like we're saying a bona fide kabochemer. And says Taisus about Phil Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda, who he disagrees over, then he says no, the Balkari makes a bracha before he eats and after he eats. Loi Palik, the only reason why he disagrees, he doesn't disagree el mishum da'aston ki hilchas derech eretz, only because he equates them as the halachas of derech eretz, zuta and rabba, as the Gemara says over the Chav Bezim and Alf, that about carries a lot to say those words of Tyra out of his lips. And Rabbi Yehuda says that therefore he's allowed to make a bracha before he eats also, because that's like hilchas derech eretz. But he agrees to the same principle that beforehand it's not going to be deraisa, and that's the idea that we're saying, it's not a real bona fide kavuchemer, rather it's just like a logic that we're saying. But even if we obligated, it wouldn't make it into Dairaisa. Now, continuing the next taste, different Masal Tez begins with the words of the Gemara, Davisha in Geduli Minakarka, something that does not grow from the ground, Kugan Basav Chalav, like meat and milk. So Tez comes to explain, why didn't the Gemara pick something even of a bigger Chiddush, that of Yerukas of vegetables? I mean, the Gemara brought that even if you can learn out, like the more inclusive interpretation, that of Netter Revai, not just Kerem Revai, even the fruits of old trees that requires a bracha, you still would only know things that grow from the ground, like fruits, which that's where the halacha of Netter Revai applies to. That's where the pasuk of Kodesh Elulim is going on, that you have to make a bracha. But something does not grow from the ground, like meat and milk, where would you know that it's chayav in the bracha? That's what the Gemara is asking. Now, Vibtaiba says, if you're going to say, Taisa asks us to take a second look, my area buster, why do you have to say the more obvious question, that of meat, afili rakas namilasile? We could ask even a better question, even vegetables not be included from the pasuk of Kodesh Elulim, because that was only said regarding fruits, whether it's not, even if it's not just a vineyard, but it's fruits of a tree, which grow in the tree, but that wouldn't tell us vegetables that grow from the ground. So why are you asking for meat and milk that doesn't even grow? You could ask something that grows just from the ground, not from a tree. So Tess says that Vishlam, what you could say is no, because the Ikalim, you could actually say that we would know vegetables, because and therefore we're not asking vegetables, because Kamatechiach, meaning the standing grain would disprove and tell us that it does not apply to only something that grows from a tree like that has the law of Netter Vai, because grain, which the Gemara does bring as a source that requires a bracha, doesn't have the laws of Netter Vai, and still you have to make a bracha when you eat it, like it says v'chaltav esavat v'rachta, which that's going on bread that comes out of grain, like it says teicha b'lechem, and from there you would know from the mahatzad, from kama, and from peiris that anything that grows anywhere is a chayv in the bracha, which it would even include yerakas, and therefore the Gemara's question was only on things that don't grow at all, like meat and milk. Now, however, Taisus actually points out l'pirish Rashi nicha. According to Rashi's version of the Gemara, that he does not have the girsa like basa b'chala, where do you know that from? Rather, the Gemara, because his girsa, his text, is the lav bar natiya minayin, something that does not grow, how do you know that? Yeah, the Gemara's question was on anything that's lav bar natiya, that doesn't grow from a tree, that's not a sapling, because the terminology natiya is only something that's like a tree. So according to Rashi's text, yeah, also vegetables you wouldn't know from produce to be obligated in the bracha, because he would say that it's only by peiros that you have in the bracha, because it has the laws of Netter Revai. And therefore, yes, the Gemara's question was, even on vegetables, how do you know that it's chayiv in the bracha? And Taisa explains, and you cannot say, to ask on this version of Rashi, why don't you know vegetables? You would know it from other trees by a comparison, what we call mamatzinu. Just like peiros achayiv in bracha, so to Yerak is no, because the ikal mefach, he could refute it and say, malahanach, what do we find by fruits of the tree? Shekin chayiv mepeah. They have a stringency that they chayiv in the laws of peah, that you have to leave over the corner of the field, and that's why they chayiv in the bracha. But vegetables that don't have the law of peah, I would say it's not chayiv in the bracha, And therefore, that's why according to Rashi's version, yeah, the Gemara's question was actually also on Urachus. And the Mefarshim point out that Tosfos didn't ask, oh, what do you mean? You cannot learn out from Peiris because it has Netar Avai, because like Tosfos just pointed out before, because Kama Techiach, that doesn't have Netar Avai and Chayav and Abracha, but by Peya, which applies to Kama, the standing grain, and to fruit to the tree, that's why Tosfos is explaining that according to Rashi's Girsa, that you wouldn't be able to learn out from the Peiris of Elon, because they have Peya, and therefore that's what Rashi's Girsa is, that yeah, the Gemara's question was actually not just on meat and milk, it was actually also on the Urachus. Now, we're the next taste of Maschel. This begins with the words of the Gemara, Elasvaru. Rather, it's logic. It's forbidden for a person to have benefit from this world, which the Gemara concluded that, yeah, the obligation to make a bracha on food is logic. You're not to have benefit from this world without making a bracha. So Taisa now explains, V'krad de Nasib Le'el, then the pasuk that we had brought previously in the Gemara, that no, it's a pasuk you learn it from Kodesh Elulim, Asmacht B'yama, that it's just an illusion for this, well, allusion with an A, allusion, it's alluding to this idea. But it's not really the source because it's really known from logic. But Tosfos explains by Gemara Hayisav Metchila, the Gemara originally thought the Limud Gemara that it was a bona fide Limud, and therefore that was going to tell us the halacha. And ultimately, no, it's learned from Svara because we how do we know everything else? And the pasuk is only in the Smach Ba'alma. It's only alludes to this idea. Now we continue on Amud Beis where Tosfos begins with Dibur Maschil begins with the words of the Gemara Kan La'achar Bracha. Here is talking about after the bracha. Tosfos points out that we find the same interpretation and resolution elsewhere. The Gemara brought that Reb Levi posed a contradiction. On the one hand, it says Lashem or it's Malaya, the earth belongs to Hashem. But then there's a pasuk that says that Shemayim Shemayim Lashem or it's in Salam Ne'adam, it belongs to people. So the Gemara says it's not a difficulty. Before the bracha, it's Lashem or it's Malaya. After the bracha, it's Va'art Nasanam Ne'adam. So Tosfos says V'chem Beper Kol Kisvei. So too on Masech the Shabbos of Kofi Tesem and Alpha, reading the Gemara says similarly, K'shahayim Neichem Ashulcha, when they would put the food on the table, they would bring the table down. Then they would say Lashem Aretz Malaya. Tashem is the earth and its fullness, because when they're putting the table down, that's before they made the bracha. K'shahayim Esalken Ashulcha, when they would remove the table, then they would say Hashemayim Hashemayim Lashem. The heaven is for Hashem, Va'art Nasanam Ne'adam. But earth was given to mankind because that was after the bracha. Again, that same idea of that it's Hashem is before the bracha, but it becomes ours after the bracha. Now, continuing the next taste of the Maschil, taste begins with the words of the Gemara, Kan bizman sheyisol eis nutzein shel makom. Here it's talking about when the Jewish people do the will of God. Shem like it says in the pasuk, Vasafta de ganecha, that you'll gather your grain. Taste comes to explain, how do we understand the context of this pasuk, Vasafta de ganecha? That is, our Gemara brought, that Reb Chanina bar Papa posed a contradiction. On the one hand, we have one pasuk, Hashem says, V'lekachti degoni bi'itoi. I'm going to take my grain in its time. That it's Hashem's grain. On the other hand, there's a pasuk that says, V'asavta degenecha, you the Jewish people gather your grain. Whose grain is it? So the Gemara says, it's not difficult. When the Jewish people don't do the will of God, Hashem is going to take back his grain. When they do the will of God, then the Jewish people are going to gather their grain. So based on this, comes out, when the Jewish people are doing the ratzon of Hashem, that's the fulfillment of the pasuk, V'asavta degenecha, that they're going to gather, you're going to gather your grain. But Vim Taimer Tosfos says, if you're going to say, he asks a second look, but come on, the Gemara later on, in the same Amud, brings that Bizman, Shein Yisrael, Eisner, Tanish, Malkim, that at a time when the Jewish people are not doing the will of God, Mukminle, the Gemara brings that that's actually the source of Asaf Degenecha. When the Jewish people, Rishim Ben Yechoy says, does the will of Hashem, then foreigners are going to do your work. When you don't do the will of Hashem, you're going to have to gather your grain. That's Vasaf de Ganecha. So the Vasaf de Ganecha, like our Gemara is saying now we'll be here, is when we do the Ratzon of Hashem? Or is like Rav Shimon Mechoi says later on, when they're not doing the will of Hashem? So B'Yishlim Matei says, what you could say is, the Mari Vadai Sha'is Nutzainim. Like our Gemara is saying, most definitely Vasaf de Ganecha is talking about when the Jewish people do the will of a God, and therefore it's their grain and they're going to gather it. Aval Ein Eisen Ritzainim Kol Kach, but they're not doing the will of a God so much. The Ein Tzadikim Gemurim, and because they're not totally righteous. So therefore, like Rav Shimon Chai says, even if they're going to get their grain, but they're going to have to gather it themselves, and it's not going to be gathered by other people. So it's somewhere in the middle. Or, Va'idish Lemetei says, what you could say is, no, that actually the Palik Le'ahadil Kaman, that actually Rav Chanin Ba'Papa that Agamor is quoting, actually disagrees with Rav Shimon Chai later on. Shabbol Afarish, because Rav Shimon Chai has come to explain, Ma Bein Oisim, what's the difference between those who do the Ratzon of Hashem, Ve'ein Oisim, and those who don't do? Yet V'hacha will be here when Reb Chanin bar Papa asks his question from the pasuk of Lekachti Degoni on the pasuk of Asafta Degenecha. Obviously, he did not learn the pasuk that Reb Shimon Mechoy brings of V'amdu Zaru Zarm V'aro Tzainchem, that others are going to do your work for you, that is going on the gathering of the grain like Reb Shimon Mechoy understood. Because if Reb Chanina Papa would hold like that, then he should have asked from that pasuk. It would have been a stronger question, a bigger polar opposite. That pasuk sounds like that others are going to do your work. And here you have a lekach de gani that not only that Hashem is going to totally take it away. That would have been a stronger question. From the fact that Reb Chanina Papa does not ask from that pasuk, rather from the pasuk Vasav de Ganecha, sounds like because he holds it obi here, meaning the pasuk Vasav de Ganecha, that Vahach over here, it's talking about ba'isim, whether they do the will of Hashem totally, or ve'ein isim, if they don't do the will of Hashem totally, ki'adodi ninu. It's the equivalent, it's the same, there's no difference. Therefore, he only asks his question from the pasuk Vasav de Ganecha, that sounds like, okay, that the Jewish people will have the grain. That contradicts the pasuk that says Hashem says, no, blakach de Ganecha, I'm going to take my grain. And he's going to show them that it's not theirs. Therefore, that's the question. But again, he disagrees with Reb Shimon Yochai in that pasuk that he brings, and therefore he doesn't interpret it the same way as Reb Shimon Yochai. Now, continuing the next taste of Emaschel, taste against the words of the Gemara, Derech Traksamai, which taste come to explain that that's talking about regarding biblical law. The Gemara brought that Rabbi Bachana said, name Rabbi Yechanan, name Rabbi Hud Bar Lai, that come and see that the earlier generations are not the same as the later ones. The earlier generation, they would bring their produce in, what's called, as our Tosafot says, Derech Traksim, according from the Gemara, meaning through the doorways of the courtyard and the house to be obligated a Meiser. Later generations, they would bring their produce in through the roof, through the back yard, and through the enclosed areas, so to exempt themselves from Meiser. Now, Pirush Rashi explains that this, that they would exempt the produce when they would bring it through the roof and not through the doorway of the courtyard in the house, Rashi explains, Hainu Dai Raisa, that's only biblical. Avam Drabana, but rabbinically, Gam Chatzar Kavas, even the courtyard obligates one in the laws of Maiser. Okay, the Mashma Perak, it's a daifan, like the Gemara sounds like in Nidid of Mzayim a base, where it says, Ezehu Chatzar Shechayiv B'Maiser B'Chulu, what's a courtyard that will obligate one in the tithing? B'chein Mucha Perak, maybe so it's obvious in Sef Debed of Lamahayim and Aleph, that there it's brought that the courtyard obligates the produce to be obligated Maiser. So that's what Taisa brings from Rashi, that this, that they would exempt themselves, would only be from the biblical obligation. But rabbinically, one is obligated even if he's in the Chatzar, even if he doesn't go in through the doorway into the house. Now, continue the next taste of the Ramasal that begins with the words of the Gemara, Tuvagar. A lot makes a person hungry. Which taste proves somehow here that Erev Pesach, a person's allowed to drink a lot of wine. I mean, the Gemara brought that a little bit amount of wine, it makes a person satisfied. But a lot of wine, as our Tarsus quotes from the Gemara, that makes a person actually even hungrier. So it says Taisa Mekam Mashmah. Here it sounds like Sha'asalishta Zayin be'Erev Pesach min haMincha l'Malam, that from the afternoon and onward on Erev Pesach, a person is not allowed to drink wine because you're not allowed to eat things that are going to make you full, because so that you should have an appetite to eat the matzah hungry. And here our Gemara tells us if you drink a little wine, it's going to make you satisfied. But so Taisa Mekam, if someone wants to drink wine on Erev Pesach, Tzarech Lishta is Harbin, and he has to actually drink a lot of wine, because as our Taisa Devar Maschil is saying, the Tuva Megar Gar, because a lot of wine actually makes a person even hungrier. That's the way the different chemical properties works of wine, and therefore that would be the only way you could drink wine on Erev Pesach, would be a large quantity of wine.